Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, we're getting you ready for a fantastic week 7 in the NFL. Which NFC contender should be on upset alert? Mac Jones is getting ready for a showdown with fellow rookie Zach Wilson. What would losing to the Jets mean for Mac and the Pats? And next up on Derrick Henry's list, Nick Wright's Kansas City Chiefs. And with that, we wish you all a good Friday morning, everyone. First things first, Nick, Chris Broussard, Kevin Wilds. Nick, over or under 200 yards for King Henry Sunday against Kansas City? Go.
Stop it. Under. And under 0.5
at least
falling on his faces for Patrick Mahomes. The real MVP. Enough of this. The Chiefs, told you, not under 500 for 4 years. Yeah.
Big story. I understood over under. Bigger story. Let's get to week 7 in just a second, but we got to start in the NBA, where yesterday the league released their full 75th anniversary squad. Top 76 players of all time. There was a tie. Been a whole lot of controversy around some of the guys not on the list, but that were left off the list. We're going to call them snubs. Take a look at some of the notables. Vince Carter, Dwight Howard, Kyrie, T-Mac, Tracy McGrady, Tony Parker, just to name a couple of them. Klay Thompson, another notable snub, posted this on Instagram yesterday. Hey, maybe I'm just naive in my ability to play basketball, but in my head, I'm top 75 all time. All right, Nick, who was, in your opinion, the biggest snub from the NBA's 75th anniversary team?
Yeah, I'm going to say what everyone's thinking and get ahead of what I assume will be the dominating story today about this list, which is the Sidney Moncrief disrespect must end. Let me tell you about the Bucks. By the way, Sidney Moncrief should have been on the list. However, he was not the biggest snub. I don't know how Sidney doesn't make the list. Sidney, I'm here for you, man.
I love Sidney, but no.
Dwight Howard not being on this list is an indictment of the entire list. If we're throwing guys off because they're unpopular, then someone tell Rick Barry because he's out too. This is an indictment on the process, and it makes it seem a little too much like the cool kids table at lunch rather than the most prestigious group in NBA history. Dwight Howard, 3 times in his career, was the Defensive Player of the Year. Dwight Howard, 4 times in his career, was top 5 MVP voting. Dwight Howard was the best player and the only all-star caliber player on a finalist on a team that beat LeBron in the playoffs in a series LeBron averaged 38-9-9. Dwight Howard had a 5-year peak that rivals 35 guys on this list, dwarfs the peak of at least 15 guys on this list. And I'm not trying to kick guys off, but Ray Allen made the list. He, of course, never had a top 8 MVP finish, much less top 5. He was all NBA twice. Reggie Miller made this list. He was 3rd team all NBA 3 times. That's it. He never once finished top 10 in MVP voting. Paul Pierce made this list. He was 4-time All-NBA, Wilds. I'm not throwing Paul Pierce off the list. What I am saying is Dwight's resume, Broussard, is not borderline top 75. It's borderline top 45 unquestionably top 65 and probably somewhere in the middle between 45 to 65. He didn't get on the list because Shaq's made fun of him for a decade and because people don't like him. It's unfair. And that is without question the biggest indictment on the list as a whole.
All right, look, I'm certainly not putting him on the list over Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. There's an argument for Reggie Miller, but I do agree with you that Dwight Howard was the biggest snub. I could mention Vince Carter. I could mention Tony Parker. But I do agree Dwight Howard's the biggest snub. And it's similar to Vince Carter because they both had like eight-year runs of greatness, of absolute greatness. You mentioned Dwight, a five-year peak where he was a top five player in the league. In those 8 years, was about a top 10 player. The problem for Dwight is that, and look, and I'm with you, Nick, the committee of voters is supposed to be above this. The casual fan could fall for, well, the whole second half of his career, he's been a role player, all right? And they may not even remember how great he was. And it started with an injury. Let's say that, too. It didn't start with him just falling off. It started with an injury in Houston, and he's never been the same player since. All right, but again, the voters should be above that. And like you said, he became viewed as this giant goofball. All right, but like you said, Dennis Rodman's on the list. All right, so let me say this too. And I agreed with keeping all of the top 50 of the original 50 greatest players list on the top 75. It's hard to say I made top 50, but I didn't make top 75. However, there are at least, Nick, a dozen guys on the top 50 original list that really aren't top 75 players. And that's not era bias. That's guys that if we critique them by what we do today, did they win much? There are guys on that list that didn't win much, especially as the number one guys. How long was their run of greatness? There are guys on the list that didn't have a very long run of greatness. All right. So yeah, there's that, but I don't want to rip any of the old heads. New guys, you mentioned a few. I'm going to mention one from the modern era that Dwight should definitely be on before. Dennis Rodman. And Rodman was great. He was a tremendous defender. So was Dwight. He was an awesome rebounder. Better than Dwight, but Dwight was an awesome rebounder too. Very close to Dennis Rodman. And Dwight was light years ahead of Rodman in terms of scoring. And their era of greatness was about the same. Rodman had about eight awesome years like Dwight. I'm going to also mention another guy, and I wonder what your response on this, Nick. Anthony Davis. Now, if it plays out as we think it will, and maybe Davis wins more championships, maybe a finals MVP, it's different. But at this point, Dwight Howard over Anthony Davis all day, every day. Better rebounder, both great defenders. Anthony Davis scored more, but here's the thing. Dwight was the anchor, as you mentioned, of an NBA Finals team that beat LeBron. And Anthony Davis in 7 years in New Orleans before he got to LeBron made the playoffs twice as the number one guy.
And
won one playoff series.
That's right.
The injuries. So I would put him ahead of Anthony Davis
fair.
As well.
AD, listen, the AD-Dwight discussion is closer than people give it credit for the totalities of their careers. Again, if the time stopped today, which is the point that you're making, now where AD does get some check marks that some of these other guys I mentioned don't is, he also has top five MVP finishes. He also has a handful of first-team All-NBAs, which matter a lot to me. We got to keep in mind when we're comparing All-NBAs, up until the late 80s, there was only first and second team All-NBA. So a guy like Reggie Miller, who has three third team All-NBAs, if you played an earlier era, that gets you nothing. But as far as time stopping now, here's an example of why I think this is so unfair, Wilds. Damian Lillard is on this list. I'm fine with that. It was very, very close. But Dame has, at this point, played in his career about as long as Dwight before Dwight had the fall off. Dame has made All right. NBA six yeah. times. Right. Dwight did it eight, of course. Dame top five MVP once. Dwight did it four times. And Dame has nothing close to the individual honor of the three-time Defensive Player of the Year. It feels like what this list is telling me by including Dame and not including Dwight is if Dwight would have retired after his first year with the Rockets, he makes the list. Somehow he played himself off the list, which Good should point. Not be able to happen. And so, like, it's to me, it's really, really unfortunate, Wilds, that this to me was about Dwight's personality. It was about that people don't like him. And so they penalized him, and that shouldn't happen.
So how much of it was about Dwight's personality? Because I buy that. And Broussard, how much do you think it was about Dwight not reaching his potential? That we saw those first 5 years, we saw the defensive player year, we saw the finals appearance, that instead of going this way, it headed that way. And there's a certain recency bias to looking at your progress or decline and saying, well, the guy's constantly declined. Now, recently, he's had a little back up, upwards tick in terms of likability and winning a championship. But how much of it is just like, hey, you know what? We thought you were going to be great. We thought you were going to be the next Superman. But you sort of got tagged with, like, kind of being silly. You won the slam dunk contest. You had the awkward press conference with Stan Van. I think that personally was like the beginning of the end of sort of like, this guy's on the outs. So how much of it do you think is because he didn't reach his potential?
I think, Wiles, that's a big part of it. And I think that's the same thing for Vince Carter. That's the thing. When you play, like, Vince Carter and Dwight Howard have played, what, 8, 9, 10 years as mediocre role players. I mean, really. And people forget how great you are. If you look at the modern era guys on the list, they all, you never really saw them as mediocre players. They left maybe after a year or two, if that, of being okay. Okay, they didn't stay around to play for 10 years, come off the bench and things like that. So I do think that's a huge part of this. Nick, great point. Had Dwight retired after he left the Rockets, he probably is on this list.
Yeah.
But that's the problem I wouldn't say played his way off of it.
Continuing to play.
That's an interesting
way. I think he did.
Putting it, yeah.
And one last point is the Dwight potential thing, Wilds. Everybody loves Shaq. Shaq has really twisted people's minds about something as factually based as how big is Dwight Howard. Shaquille O'Neal is 7'2", was the most physically dominating force in modern basketball. Next Lakers game you watch, look at LeBron and Dwight standing next to each other. Dwight's a little taller than LeBron. This idea that Dwight was supposed to be able to do what Shaq did and just easily score 30, he's not the biggest guy on the court. He had amazing athleticism for his size, but it was because Dwight called himself Superman and played for the Magic, Shaq put a target on his back, and I really think that helped pervert, if you will, the America's expectations of who Dwight was ever going to be as an offensive player. Jenna, it's not to let him off the hook for not evolving his game,
right,
but he was never going to be Shaq. He never could have been Shaq. Like, that's not a thing.
All right, well, besides Dwight Howard, Kyrie was the other big notable that we were all talking about in our morning meeting. Come up in a little bit. We're going to dive into why he was left off that list. But time now for Kevin Wild's favorite segment of the week, Upset Alert. Wild's has been money on these. So which NFC contender
is
he putting on Upset Alert heading into week 7? Oh, I got you. We'll find out next. First things first. Oh, I'm stressed out. Time for Upset Alert. That took me by surprise. Talking NFC contenders this morning. The Cardinals, the Bucks, the Rams, all big favorites this weekend with the cream rising to the top in the NFC. But Chris Broussard, the team that should be on Upset Alert in week 7, is blank.
Nick, I hate to do this. Actually, who am I kidding? I love doing this. I love going against your darlings, the Atlanta Falcons. They should be on Upset Alert, Nick. You know this. Look, you want to play this game that, the Falcons have arrived. This is what I expected from them. They've won 2 of their last 3 games. They beat the 2 New York teams. All right, so slow down on the Falcons making the playoffs.
They're not playing now.
Okay, in fact, They should be on high alert against Miami. All right, and you want to mock at Miami. They've lost five straight. I get it. But I'm putting faith in Brian Flores and that coaching staff that they will get their team up. They didn't get a bye week after going to London and losing to Jacksonville. So they are coming back amped up, ready to get a win. They still, this is a team to enter with playoff hopes. Tua in his first game back from 3 weeks off because of injury looked pretty good. 329 yards, two touchdowns, 70% completion. I'm telling you, Nick, watch out for Miami. And you might say, well, there's no way they're ready. It's a short week for them after the trip to Jacksonville. No. In 2017, same thing. Came from London, didn't get a week off, and won. So watch out for the Miami Dolphins over the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, I have to remind the audience, we do have a rule on this show. This segment is upset alert, not upset prediction. However, if you do something as cowardly as Broussard just did and your upset is less than a 3-point favorite, it's a pick. So you're wrong unless the Falcons win.
They are 2.5-point favorites.
Didn't you? So the only... Yeah, and I was wrong unless they won, and I was wrong last week. I, on the other hand, am going to be bold. I, on the other hand, am going to pick a team with an MVP candidate, a team that's almost a touchdown favorite, a team that is 5-1. How about Cincinnati upsetting Baltimore? Now, again, this is, as Bruce Harvey say, just an alert, but just be on the lookout for it. Here's a question. Is Ja'Marr Chase already the best receiver in the NFL? Probably not, but you gotta think about it. What he has been doing is remarkable. I'm not afraid to say when I'm wrong because it so rarely happens. I was wrong about that draft pick. I said, I don't care how good Ja'Marr Chase is, they need an offensive lineman to protect Joe Burrow. I should have cared about how good Ja'Marr Chase is because they still need an offensive lineman, but he is so spectacular, and the Ravens secondary, again, dealing with some injuries, I think that is something where he could have a huge game. It's the biggest game the Bengals have played, I don't know, in 7 years since the one really good Andy Dalton year of 6 years. So the Bengals, a sneaky 4-2. They're a team that played well a few weeks ago in the loss to Green Bay. Bengals keeping it close against Baltimore. Maybe Baltimore's close game luck runs out. Just on alert, as Broussard would say, Ravens fall under the Bengals potentially. Close late, +6.
Okay. All right, Jenna, as you know, I am smoking hot on these upset alert picks. People have been winning a lot of money out there, going to Vegas, going to Fox Bet. Say, I'll take the wild special. They leave with a Ferrari come Monday morning. They're betting
Porsche.
Ferraris. They put a lot of money down, or a Porsche. So here's the pick, and it's kind of an ugly one, but it's going to hit. Giants over Carolina. Ugh, the Giants Wilds. No. Do we really have to pick the Giants?
No,
yes.
Not bad.
Trust me. Granted, Joe Judge just had another great press conference where he said that the fish stinks from the head down, so he is taking total responsibility. I think Joe Judge and Jason Garrett get it back on track. I know there's no Saquon, but there's also no Christian McCaffrey. And just like how Tom Brady struggled in his return
Never
to Foxborough, this is like the junior varsity / freshman team version of that, of Sam Darnold headed back into the Meadowlands. Sam Darnold's going to be like, oh, I remember this place. I wasn't too good here. I've got some bad feelings about this. I think Sam Darnold struggles. He's been struggling the last few games. His passer rating 85, 44, 56 after a hot start. So that's the pick. Joe Judge and the Giants, with their back up against the wall, get over on Carolina.
I've got bad news for you, Wilds, because you and I are usually, we try to be in lockstep here. And I don't want to give anything away, but at 8:39 a.m. Eastern, we are, of course, going to do Knicks picks, the red hot Knicks picks, the lock of the week coming in like hotcakes. We might be in direct conflict between my lock and your upset. I'm not guaranteeing it.
Wow.
I'm just saying it's something to watch out for. Knicks picks 8:39 a.m. Eastern sharp. So you might need to readjust, recalibrate once you hear the rationale for our lock of the week. Just letting you know. Coming up later, Jenna. Just letting you know.
That actually makes me believe even more in Wilds' alert.
Yeah.
I don't know if there will be any recalibrating.
That's the lock. All your life.
But there will be some tension.
That's the lock.
Talk about a lock.
Speaking of tension, let's talk about Kyrie Irving. He was one of the notable names left off the NBA 75th anniversary team. I wonder if he heard about it. Did he deserve to be on the list? Ask these guys next. First things first.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yesterday, the NBA finished releasing their full 75th anniversary squad. Missing from that list, glaringly, I might add, Kyrie Irving. The seven-time All-Star still sidelined due to his vaccination status. But the resume he's built to this point, you know, it's impressive. So here we go. Andre Iguodala chimed in yesterday, tweeting, so y'all saying Kyrie Irving ain't top 75? He's top 20 at least. Dragonfly Jones tweeted this, Kyrie really seems to be a Hooper's Hooper. I love Kyrie's game, but Hoopers love Kyrie's game. KD saw that and tweeted response, because you're casual.
Jeez.
All right, Nick, should Kyrie have made this list?
I want to hear Broussard first on this, because people are going to think, because Broussard has tricked America into thinking I'm dripping in anything but objectivity. Whatever I say, people are going to find some way to connect it to LeBron and a legacy. So I want to hear Broussard first on this, then I'll respond.
Well, first of all, they wouldn't be wrong for that, but I appreciate you giving me the floor, Nick. All right, look, let me explain. I'm going to do my best to try to explain Andre Iguodala and Kevin Durant, who are big-time hoop people. I don't mean just their game, but I mean, you know, their love of critiquing players and so on and so forth. Obviously, it's ludicrous to say Kyrie's a top 20 player, but I think that they are guys that are looking at skills. And I think they look at it like Kyrie's got the best handle ever, which he does in the NBA. Kyrie is one of the best finishers ever for guard, which he is in the NBA, a point guard. Kyrie is a tremendous shooter, has three-point range that guys before him, you know, back in the day never had. I think they're going to compare him to some of these older guys and just say, hey, you put them on the court right now, Bob Cousy then versus Kyrie, it's not even close. But it's disrespectful of the previous eras. Give a Bob Cousy or many other guys, Hal Greer, the benefits of today, the nutrition, the correct charter flights, the better sneakers, the weight training, the film study, the year-round play, and the ability to look and learn from predecessors that they didn't have, that today's players get. And Bob Cousy would be a star today. A superstar today. Same with Hal Greer and some of these other guys. So there's that. As far as top 75, I think there's an argument for Kyrie. I don't think he should have made the list, but I think there is an argument there. He was, you know, you can put him on the snub list if you want. The problem with Kyrie, and Nick, you talked about this at length with Dwight. One of the problems is his image. I mean, people thought Dwight was a goofball. And they, you know, Kyrie with the earth is flat and Christmas not a holiday and things like that, not to mention what's going on now. His image is not good. But there's more than that. Injuries. He's only played 70 or more games three times in his career and missed four playoff either series or entire postseasons that were critical. Thirdly, he hasn't shown he can lead a team to significant winning when he's the number one guy. In Cleveland before LeBron, they're no good. Boston, we know they go further without him than they did with him. And even his first year in Brooklyn without KD, he was hurt, played 20 games. Not impressive as far as wins in those 20 games. All right, so, and then finally, not a big assist guy. All right, 5.7 assists for his career. So that is why you go Dame. Those are reasons you go Dame over Kyrie, because Dame is a little bit more of an assist guy. Dame has shown that while he can't lead you to a championship, he can lead you fairly deep in the playoffs occasionally. And so those are the reasons you pick a Dame over Kyrie. But, Nick, I don't think it's egregious to think Kyrie could have been top 75, but I think it's correct that he wasn't on it.
So I don't want to, like you kind of alluded to, I don't want to compare Kyrie to the older guys, because it's really apples and bowling balls there. And let's just talk about the contemporaries. And I get, by the way, why Andre Iguodala might be making this case. Andre Iguodala is like, well, you know, Kyrie top 75, he's 210th on the NBA's all-time scoring list. I, Andre Iguodala, am 192nd. So if he makes the list, hey, finals MVP Iggy, let's get some credit there maybe, huh? Could I get some consideration? Don't forget about my Denver years now. So here's the problem. The problem is, forget Dwight deserving to be on here. Other contemporaries of Kyrie who deserve to be on here far before him. Tracy McGrady. How about Tracy? Tracy twice finished top five in MVP voting and seven times was all NBA. Kyrie, zero top five MVP finishes, more on that in a moment, and three times all NBA. What about Tony Parker? Because while I think if KD were here and he heard us bring up Tony Parker, he'd walk out of the room. Because obviously Kyrie is more skilled than Tony Parker. But Tony Parker has a top five MVP finish. He has more all-NBA teams than Kyrie. He has a finals MVP. And, oh, yeah, he does have the four championships. Hey, Nikola Jokic, if we're not worried about length of work, just what was your peak, I wouldn't put Jokic on the list. But he did win a league MVP. And, by the way, Bernard King not being on this list really, really bothers me. Bernard King, Sidney Moncrief, and Dwight Howard all should have made the list. But I'll set that aside. But I want to go back, Wilds. Here's the issue. If you haven't done it long enough, and by virtue of the fact that Kyrie is 210th on the all-time scoring list, we know he hasn't done it long enough. Then the question is, how high was your peak? And I think it's fair to question Kyrie's peak when, forget top five MVP finish. Would you believe if I told you, because it's true, he's never received a single MVP vote. So you've got a decade of work, 100 voters a year. They cast not the NFL where you just vote for first. You vote 1 through 5. In Kyrie's career, the following people, to name a few, have received at least one MVP vote. Joe Johnson, Ty Lawson, David Lee, Al Jefferson, Goran Dragic, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Little Isaiah Thomas, Victor Oladipo, Pascal Siakam, and Ben Simmons. They've all received at least one vote. Kyrie's never gotten one vote. So he hasn't played long enough. The peak isn't high enough. You can't make a case for him. I can't see it. And if you're going to make a case for him, Tracy McGrady is pounding on that door. And Tony Parker's pounding on that door. Vince Carter might be pounding on that door. It's hard. Hard to make a case for Kyrie that isn't a case for those other guys before him.
Okay, so I want to address the idea that Kyrie doesn't affect winning, because it's sort of, you have to hold these two ideas. That Kyrie, when you look at, you know, Cavs pre-LeBron, you look at Celtics with and without Kyrie, but you also have one of the most clutch shots that we've ever seen in the NBA Finals.
Absolutely.
To deliver LeBron a championship.
Right.
So having those two ideas in your head are kind of funky. You also have this idea, and I just want to address what you said about Bob Cousy, Broussard, because you are 100% right. And I have a little trick that I would like to give the audience on how to do this. I think greatness will transcend eras. So you have to assume that Bob Cousy, just like Broussard said, would be great in this era, even though it doesn't show up on film.
Right.
It's the same idea if we're talking about greatest producers. I'm sure Beethoven could produce an EDM track that would be pretty good. Beethoven right now would be one of the best EDM producers. He would be touring. He would be in Ibiza selling out. Like, oh, you got to see that new Beethoven. Yeah, I tripped. Beethoven. Yeah, he had brought Bach on earlier. Those guys would crush. It's the same way Bob Cousy would crush. But the question I have for you is this, Broussard. Right. When you talk about affecting winning, a lot of guys on this list weren't the number one guy. We saw number one guys that didn't get it done get booted off the list. Like Vince Carter was the number one guy, couldn't win. Tracy McGrady, as much as I love him, he didn't win, so I think he was penalized for that. But then you saw sort of second bananas get on the list. Robert Parrish is on the list. Dennis Rodman, who you wanted to boot off the list, has five championships because he's part of that team. Yeah. So, like, how do you think the balance is between Kyrie, who sort of bounces between both? Like, maybe he's not, he got his championship when he wasn't the number one guy. Went to the Celtics, tried to be the number guy, actually wasn't. And now with the Nets, we're not quite sure what he is going to be because we haven't seen him on the court. So I think that sort of confusion about are you a role, are you a supporting player, are you the star, kind of hurts Kyrie because there's just a gray area there.
Well, I think that's a great point, Wiles, and I want to address that. First, let me say this about Nick. The names you mentioned, Ty Lawson, some of these other guys that have gotten votes, Kyle Lowry for MVP, that's more of an indictment on some of the voters. I mean, real talk.
Like, oh, you don't
those
say.
Dudes aren't as good as
Thank
Kyrie.
You for walking into that. You're saying the MVP voting needs an overhaul.
Not me. I've never put Ty Lawson
with all due respect
on my ballot. All right, no. I had to say that. But
you walked right into that bear trap. I was deciding which names to include. I'm like, what are the most egregious to get Broussard to rip the voters? All right, go ahead. Sorry. It just got me so excited.
But
go ahead, buddy.
This is something Kyrie, if this is important to him, may have to live with. Had he stayed in Cleveland Wilds with LeBron, he'd probably be on this list.
That's right.
Because he was the closer. And LeBron and his guys know that. Kyrie was the closer. And they may have won more championships. And then Kyrie would probably be a no-brainer on this list. All right? And now, Kyrie does have an opportunity, Wiles, to your point, to make this look foolish that he wasn't on the list. I don't think it's nearly as ridiculous as Nick has said for it to be considered that Kyrie could have been on the list. He's got time. And I say this in all seriousness, if he continues to play. Because I don't know what Kyrie's future holds. I mean, if he doesn't play this whole season and opts out of his deal, is there a team that's going to give him a long-term contract? I don't know with all the uncertainty about him. So if he continues to play, he's the third best player in Brooklyn. But if he continues to play and stays there and they win a championship or more, then Kyrie Irving will probably get on the next list in 25 years, which is top 100.
Yeah.
And there also may be those that are like, how in the world was Kyrie not on the top 75? And he won't be the lead guy, Wise. He'll be a second star or third star. Yeah. But I think he's got a chance.
But I think that just quickly, because I mentioned guys who didn't make the list whose resume, to me, dwarfed Kyrie. There's a guy who made the list whose resume is very similar and even has the iconic shot portion of it. Trae Allen. They have it's 3-2 All-NBA teams, same number of first-team All-NBAs. Ray only has one top five MVP finish. The difference is this. Ray Allen was the leading actor on a team and carried them to the conference finals. People act like that Milwaukee Bucks portion of his career didn't happen. Yep. It did. They played an epic seven-game series against Iverson to barely miss out on the finals. I say this, Jenna. If the 3 years where Kyrie had 2 years in Boston and the first year in Brooklyn when KD was hurt, if he had led any of those teams anywhere, then maybe he's on the list. He had the opportunity. Injury cost him years 1 and 3 without LeBron, the Boston and then the Brooklyn year. And then the second year, he melted down in the playoffs and they got annihilated by the Bucks. Like, he had the opportunity and unfortunately didn't take advantage of it. So to me, he's fairly on the outside looking in because Ray Allen's shot, Kyrie's shot, they're of similar iconography in NBA history.
It's a great conversation. It's a fun one to have. And solid 25 years, Broussard, mark your calendar. We'll do the top 100. In fact, I'm going to do
That's
it.
That's right.
As soon as we get to
it might be coming.
Time now for Nick to hand out NBA medals. It'll be on a Thursday. Paul George had it going last night in Golden State, finished with 29 and 11. but the Clippers couldn't stop Steph. Warriors get the win. No medal for PG-13. Nick, which three guys did it better last night?
All right, we'll go quickly here. Trae Young gets the bronze medal. He could have had a bigger game, but they blew out the Bucks, so he didn't need to play all that. I'm sorry, they blew out the Mavs, so he didn't need to play all that long. We'll get to the team blew out the Bucks in just a moment. But 19-14 gets you the bronze. Silver medalist, a lot of Tyler Hero preseason buzz. He answered the bell last night against the defending champion Bucks in just an annihilation, 27-6-5. And then the easiest gold medal we might give out all year, Steph Curry's 45 points, spectacular game, 25 in the first, in a really good game if you stayed up late for it. There it is, the podium from October 21st in the NBA. There it is, Jenna Wolf.
All right, only a few games last night, so it's hard to argue with that, Nick.
Thank you, Broussard.
Let's just go right to Derrick Henry. Let's just talk Derrick Henry. The King has been running wild this season. Will he do it again Sunday against, oh, who are they playing? The Chiefs! Oh, it's going to be good. We'll talk about it next. First things first on a Friday morning. First things first, big game in the Wright household this weekend. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs taking on Derrick Henry and the Titans. Down in Nashville, Mahomes got back on track in the second half of that win over Washington last week. See if he's moved past those turnover troubles. On the defensive side of the ball, Chiefs are going to have their hands full with Derrick Henry. Henry's gone for over 100 yards in five straight games. He's the league's leading rusher. While the Chiefs in the bottom six stopping the run. That's not a good combination. Leading rusher, stopping the run. And stopping explosive runs, which Derrick Henry has plenty of. Mike Vick joining us now to break this one down. Mike, should the Chiefs be worried about the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, absolutely they should be worried. Derrick Henry, he's going to run downhill. He's going to be, that top guy on offense that the Titans need him to be. And, you know, when the Kansas City Chiefs can't stop the run right now, as you can see, bottom tier in the National Football League, they're going to have some problems stopping the run. And that's just going to be what it is. But the thing for the Kansas City Chiefs, they just got to come out passing it like they do. They don't have the best rushing offense in the NFL, but they do have one of the top passing offenses still. And I take that over one of the top rushing offenses any day. And I just don't trust the Tennessee Titans secondary. As they shown to play well last week versus the Buffalo Bills, you know, it was just one of those games. And I'm not taking any credit away from them, but this is a totally different animal in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs. So I do think the Chiefs should be concerned because their only focus will have to be stopping Derrick Henry. If they shut down Derrick Henry, then they got a legit shot at going on the road and beating the Tennessee Titans on the road.
Oh, they got more. I would say they have more than a legit shot, and I don't even know if they have to stop Derrick Henry. I think it'd be foolish for me to sit here and say I think the Chiefs can stop Derrick Henry. I know they did it in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago, but Henry somehow is either as good as he was right then or better, and this Chiefs defense is definitely at least a tick or two worse than it was a couple years ago. So I don't know that they're going to be able to duplicate that. But the Titans defense is horrible. And I think that it would be surprising, Broussard, if the Chiefs don't score 35. And it's hard to score 40 based on a running game. It's not impossible. We saw the Titans almost do it against the Bills, the vaunted Super Bowl favorite Buffalo Bills, before Josh Allen fell on his face. But it's very difficult to do. And so I think that what is likely to happen in this game, Broussard, is Derrick Henry will play well early, but he is a guy who tends to play his best late. And by the time they are most, you know, he's usually taking over the game, the Titans are going to be forced to throw the football because it's going to be 31-21. Because they're going to be trailing by more than a score. So this is not about my faith in the Chiefs being able to stop Derrick Henry. It's about my conviction that the Chiefs will score 4 out of 5 the first five times they have the ball. They'll score touchdowns 4 of those 5 possessions because the Titans defense is so bad.
Well, Nick, I'm with you in that the best defense for Kansas City will be their offense. All right, and what they need to do is really slow down Henry early. And he, as you said, he gets better as the game goes on, so they have a good chance of doing that. All right, and then while they're slowing him down and keeping Tennessee from scoring, they're scoring. They get up 2 touchdowns, 17 points, something like that. And then to your point, Tennessee is going to have to throw the football to try to get in the game, and that's how you stop Derrick Henry. Now, you mentioned 2 years ago, 2019, when Kansas City won the Super Bowl, they did stop him in the playoffs, held him, I think, 69 yards. But in the regular season that year, Henry went wild against them, 188 yards and a victory. They won 35-32 over Kansas City that year, so they could win. If Kansas City doesn't come out early and put points on the board and get a little bit of a cushion, and Tennessee doesn't have to throw the ball, they can just give it to Henry, this could be a long day for the Chiefs. Now, Chris Jones could be back. That'll help them. But if it's close and Henry's able to get the ball 25-30 times, oh, he's going to be well over 100 yards and give them a chance to win.
You want me to look in my crystal ball, Nicholas? I don't think you're going to like what you see. I think if the Titans come out and Derrick Henry scores very early, old Kansas City starts to get nervous. I know you guys act confident, but you're not. And that's why we see Patrick Mahomes stressing and pushing and pressing and try to make things happen. Do you know which team leads the NFL in giveaways? It's the Kansas City Chiefs. They're number one with 14. Number two is the mighty Jacksonville Jaguars with rookie Trevor Lawrence and his gigantic neck. So I think, Nick, despite all the press conferences that Mahomes will give and say, you know what, I'll take care of the ball. We're not worried about it. We know teams have a target on our back. We just got to play our game. The fact that they give the ball away so much proves to me that the team gets that Patrick Mahomes, while he's on offense, is thinking about the defense a little bit. In his mind, he has visions of Honey Badger going like this. Every game.
Except there's just not
I'll also go to Fox Bet. Put this, the over-under on Honey Badger. I'm putting it at 1.5.
Yeah. But so here's the thing. So in this last game, the Chiefs had 3 turnovers. One was a Mecole Hardman fumble. That's not about Mahomes pressing. One was a perfect pass to Tyreek Hill that Tyreek just bobbled. That's not about Mahomes pressing. And then the one terrible Mahomes play that evidently is the only play we got the express written consent from the NFL to run on this show, but even though there were plenty of other plays. But you have brought
so
up
bad.
Two Chiefs stats that I want to bounce one of them off Mike, because I told you last week when you were talking about the Chiefs defense, worst defense ever. And I said, that actually makes me feel better because that is going to regress to the mean. They're not going to be a good defense, but they're not going to be the worst defense ever. Mike, when you hear that an Andy Reid-led team with Patrick Mahomes healthy leads the NFL in turnovers, is that to you more concerning for the team the rest of the year? Or in an odd way, reassuring, because they're not going to continue to turn the ball over 3 times a game. Or you can tell me, I'm just a guy from Kansas City who's trying to mind meld this into a positive. How do you look at the Chiefs' turnovers thus far?
Well, I think it's a couple things. I think, you know, Patrick Mahomes, just like Wild said, when you know you have a defense that's not playing up to par, then you tend to start pressing on offense and trying to do a little bit more than you would do on a typical basis. And I just think that's where Kansas City is at right now. Everybody's pressing. You know, offense know that they have to score. You start to read the press clippings and all the things is being written. And 90% of it is true. So you buy into that. But, you know, in terms of Patrick and what he's doing, forcing balls and making some errant throws at times, things that we haven't seen him do, it's all because he's trying to score points. And I think as the season continues to go on, we've seen teams start out the season and be horrible in so many statistical categories, and then they clean it up. So I just got a feeling that I'm positive that this is what's going to happen with the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick won't continue to turn it over. The defense will start to get better and gain some confidence, you know, as they go into weeks 7, 8, 9, which is typically what usually happens around the National Football League for the better teams, I should say.
All right, Mike, stick around. We got to talk some Mac Jones and the Patriots now. Mac already beat the Jets once back in week two, but what would a loss this time around mean for New England? Let you know next. First things first. Back here with Mike Vick, we're talking Mac Jones and Kevin Wild's 2-2-0-2 New England Patriots. Bill Belichick has kept the training wheels on the Mac Jones-led Patriots offense through 6 weeks. Might be a good time now, Sunday, against the one-win Jets to open it up just a little bit. Just a hair. Just a little bit. He already beat the Jets once for his first career win back in week two. Hey, Kevin Wilds, the Patriots coming off a disappointing overtime loss to Dallas. What would a loss to the Jets mean for Bill Belichick, Mac Jones, and the New England Patriots?
Jenna, I'm usually filled with bravado and confidence and optimism on this show. But if we lose to the Jets, my old bag of Patriots excuses, well, I'm looking in there for an excuse for the losing to the Jets, and I am empty. You lose to the Dolphins week one, like, hey, first game, no big deal. You lose to Broussard's MVP, Jameis Winston. You know, we got lucky on that one. You lose to the Bucs in the greatest of all time on a field goal. That's okay. You lose in overtime to Dak. You know, that's all right. If we lose to the Jets, Mike, there will be no excuse. This will be a catastrophe for the entire franchise. And I don't want to say I'm closing the door on the Patriots dynasty, but the door would start to creak a little bit more shut. Like, hold on, are we not the team that we thought we were? We thought we were just taking, like, a gap year. Yeah, the dynasty is still running. The dynasty, as long as Bill Belichick is there, the dynasty is still has a heartbeat. But if we lose to the Jets, like, uh-oh. I thought we were just taking, like, a gap year on the dynasty journey. You know, you go to Europe for a while. You go out, you go to some museums. You fall in love. But then you come back and you become a dynasty with Mac Jones again. If we lose to the Jets, Mike, and I know you're a Jets guy, this would be catastrophic for the Patriots faithful and fans. And I think people would start to question what's up with Belichick and what's up with Josh McDaniels.
Most definitely. They're going to question everything. And you talking about the catastrophe is going to be just with the New England Patriots fan base. All the things that they're going to question. Is Bill Belichick really as good as advertised without Tom? Is Mac Jones the guy? All these questions will be circulating, you know, and unnecessarily. But, you know, it's what they're going through right now. And it's that time. You know, it's time to step up. It's time for them to let Mac Jones loose. And, you know, naturally, I'm going to root for my Jets. And hopefully this is a game that we can pull out, that we can win. Right. If not, you know, Wiles, we'll have a different conversation on Monday. But Mac Jones did get his first win against the Jets. I watched this game in week two or three or whatever week it was. And it wasn't an easy game for the New England Patriots to win. It was very competitive.
I know.
If Zach Wilson would have played just a fraction better, then that game could have had a significantly different outcome. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. He's getting better as the weeks go on.
Because, Mike, you said something that Wilds has been tiptoeing around and I have been hard on the whole year. You said they've got to let Mac Jones loose. I feel like they've been coaching to avoid Mac Jones having the type of game Zach Wilson had against them in week two, where the quarterback just looks totally lost, is making error after error. But what, to your eye as a quarterback, what does let Mac Jones loose mean for this football game?
Yeah, I want to see more passes downfield. I think the only pass that was over 30 yards was the pass last week to Kendrick Bourne that I seen. And, you know, we question that because that was single safety into double coverage, what it appeared to be.
Yeah.
But a great throw. And it seemed like that was sort of a desperation throw where he took a chance and, you know, it worked out for him. But it has to be more of that. More design plays down the field, 20, 30-yard chunks. And that gives a quarterback confidence because when you know you can get those type of chunk plays, then you're eager to get back to them. And then all you got to do is just be repetitive with it. Switch the size of the field and go left side, right side with it and switch it up. So, you know, it's a lot of things that I want to see Mac Jones improve on, but I know that's going to be at the helm of Josh McDaniels, ensuring that you know, he goes out and plays with confidence, but also, you know, creating some concepts that's going to allow him to push the ball downfield and have the offense move vertical.
Mike, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, if you're not going to throw it downfield against the Jets, then who in the world are you going to throw it downfield against? So they should let Mac cook, as we like to say. Wilds, let me save you some heartache down the road. The dynasty is over, my man. It's over. You remember how San Antonio, when Tim Duncan walked out the door, the dynasty was over? When Tom Brady walked out the door, he took the dynasty with him. All right?
I think it's like a David Robinson, Tim Duncan thing.
You can hope. No. You can hope to be like a perennial playoff team, maybe. Or make it every now and again with Mac Jones. I mean, and so it would be tragic, no doubt about it. Because, look, I did pick them to make the playoffs like you did. And I'm still holding out a little hope. They need the AFC North to beat up on each other. But maybe they can sneak in as a wild card if they take care of business against the Jets and go on to improve. But Mac Jones, yes, we want to see him throw it down the field. We want to see him be better. We want to see him get a win. But he has been the best rookie quarterback thus far, Nick. He's been better than Trevor Lawrence, all right? I'm not saying his ceiling is higher, but so far he's been better. All right, so I think he's playing with a little bit of house money. And let me say this about Bill Belichick. The legacy is set, all right? And he wouldn't be the first all-time great coach to end poorly. Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll. I could go on and on. Don Shula didn't end that great. All right, so we could go on and on. So his legacy set is either one of the all-time greats or the GOAT. However, there would be major talk about it was all about Brady. All right, in New England, in Boston, that would be the talk. It was all about Brady. We all know Belichick's only made the playoffs one time in his 8 years that he's coached without Tom Brady. All right, we all know that his winning percentage without Tom Brady is below 50% in Cleveland, in New England, wherever you want to go. All right, so if he loses to Tua, to Jameis Winston, as good as Jameis is, and Zach Wilson in 7 weeks, then there's going to be major questions, right, Nick, about Bill Belichick.
1,000%. And Wilds just need, you're my friend, so I say this, you need to adjust your eye. When a GOAT-level player walks out the door, the dynasty ends. When Brady walked out the door, the dynasty ended. When LeBron walked out the door in Cleveland or Miami, the dynasty ended. When Jordan walked out the door the first time in Chicago, they won 54 games and almost made the finals. But aside, the real GOAT-level guys, once they walk out the door, Jenna, the team falls off a cliff. Once they walk out the door, the team falls off the cliff. Those Bulls in 95, I mean, they were really good. They won 54 games. They make the playoffs. Could have made conference finals, not for Hugh Hollins, but don't worry about that, Jenna. We can talk about that another day.
Michael Vick, thank you so much for being a part of our morning follies. Time now for Nick's picks. A winning record last week, buddy. Nice job. Good for you. Lost on the Chargers. The Rams and the Cowboys came through.
Congrats.
Back to 500 for the season. All right, take us through through last week.
Don't worry. Listen, we went 2-1. Our lock was never in doubt, thanks to the Patriots being the Patriots. Look, we laid the wood with the Rams. We were a little off with the Chargers. Don't worry about it. Those first four weeks, that was our preseason. We got out of the preseason unscathed due to injury. Now we are ready to start rolling, America. Rolling in cashish, that is. Give me the first pick. Oh, look at that. Jets plus 7. Oh, old conservative Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels. I'm not telling you the Jets are going to win. I am telling you this. They're going to keep this thing within a score. Patriots are going to be kicking a bunch of Nick Folk field goals. That's their favorite play this year. We do not have to worry about the Patriots running up the score. Jets have a good defensive line. Jets plus 7, first pick. Give me the second pick. Show me these beautiful highlights so we can get going. Oh, yeah, this feels 3-0-ish. Let me tell you how Sunday's going to go out. The Chiefs are going to annihilate the Tennessee Titans. The Colts play it Sunday night. They're going to be sitting at home watching. They're like, oh, my, the Titans just lost. this division's alive. Who do we play next week? Oh, we play the Titans, and then after that we have the Jets. Could we get in first place? We could. Do we control our own destiny? We do. What we need to do, however, first is handle the Niners. Now, I don't think they will, but I think they'll play close. Colts, +4.5, take it to the bank. And then our lock of the week. America, as long as I get to gamble against Danny Drops, Dave Gettleman, and Joe Judge Judy, I'm doing it. Panthers, laying the wood with Sam Darnold on the road, -2.5. I'm going to take it. Sammy D had a terrible game last week until the final drive. Showed a little zest, showed a little spice. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones, oh my God, he just fumbled again. Oh my God, he just threw another pick. Panthers, -2.5. They get back on the winning track. Dave Gettleman, you're out of here. Daniel Jones, your career is shaky, hanging by a thread like the old sword of Damocles. There we go. Jets +7, Colts +4.5, and the Panthers -2.5 laying the wood on the road. Let's go. 3-0. First 3-0 week of the year. I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones this week.
Awesome. Awesome. I can feel your excitement. Yeah. All right, we'll let you sit in that for just a little bit. Time for Kevin Wild's favorite segment of the week. It is Upset Alert. Wild has been money on these so far this season. Which NFC contender is he putting on Upset Alert on week 7? First things first. The ALCS heads back to Houston. The Astros now one win away from punching their ticket to the World Series, while the Red Sox fighting to stave off elimination. Coverage of ALCS Game 6 begins 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. That is tonight. And David Ortiz is giving away $10,000 for Red Sox Astros Game 6 on the Fox Bet Super 6 app. We're going to help you win Big Poppy's money. One of the questions is who wins and by how many runs. Nick, help us out. What do you think?
A lot of pressure on me, Jenna, since last Thursday I gave you the exact score of the Thursday night football game. Last night I gave you the exact score of the Thursday night football game. Now you're making me switch sports up. Astros by 3. I'm not as confident, but I'm going with it. Astros by 3, Broussard.
All right, Broussard.
You shouldn't be confident. All right, there are going to be late game fireworks in Houston tonight. Believe you me. And the Red Sox are going to be on the winning end. They win by 2 with some late game heroic going on.
Wow, late game. I'm going early game heroics. I'm saying Red Sox by 4. Evaldi pitches well for the third time this series.
Broussard's half right, Jenna. Okay. They will literally be fireworks that Astros are going to set off after they advance the World Series. There will be actual fireworks late, but it'll be after the Astros.
You guys should play. $5 million has already been given away. You know what to do. Scan the QR code, download the app, and answer 6 questions about this game before first pitch later tonight, right here on FS1. And as always, it is free to play. All right, moving on now, time for top stories to start your morning. Brought to you by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Marquee game heading into week 7. You got Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs taking on Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans. That game down in Nashville. Mahomes back on track in the second half of their win over Washington last week. See if he's moved past those turnover troubles that have plagued him and that team. And on the defensive side of the ball, well, the Chiefs are going to have their hands full with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's gone for over 100 yards in 5 straight games. He is the league's leading rusher, while the Chiefs in the bottom 6 stopping the run and stopping explosive runs, which Derrick Henry plenty capable of, as we have seen. All right, Nick, here we go. Should the Chiefs be worried about the Tennessee Titans?
All right, here is what should concern the Chiefs with the Titans. This is not going to be one of those games where, just have it within a score and Mahomes will take care of you late, because if the Titans get the ball with 6.5 minutes left, up any amount of points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, doesn't matter, the Chiefs have no reason to believe they'll get the ball back. They will just hand the ball to Derrick Henry again and again and again and have a 7-minute drive to end the game. So the Chiefs need to take care of business early. Luckily, they will. You know what is an antidote to a team that is turning the ball over a bunch? The old Titans defense, Broussard. And while I have been the since Brandon left the show, I've been trying to carry his torch of Derrick Henry, at least MVP consideration. His production goes like this. He gets far better late in games. I expect the Chiefs to be up 10-plus points late in this game, and they're going to have to throw the football. Now, with Julio and A.J. Brown, they can throw the football. I think this will be a high-scoring game. But I would be shocked, Broussard, if Tennessee can hold the Chiefs under 38, and I don't think they're getting to 40. So I like the Chiefs.
It increased 3 points over the last hour, right? Last time you said they won't hold them to 35. Now it's 38. Okay. No, it'll be 40 in a few minutes.
That's fair. But, you know what? That's fair.
Okay, here's the deal. There, so. And you criticize Tennessee's defense because it is not that good. But it is notches above Kansas City's defense. They can't stop Derrick Henry. All right? They just can't. So what they have to do is their best defense has to be their offense. All right, so what they need, they got to stop Henry the first few possessions and take a big lead. They get a 2-touchdown lead, a 17-point lead, and force Tennessee to throw the football, as you said. Now you're in business. All right, but don't think, Nick, that if it's close, if Kansas City doesn't get a nice gap and force the ball to go in the air for Tennessee, then you could be in trouble. It happened in 2019. I know the Chiefs stopped Henry in the playoffs, but during the regular season, he ran for 188 yards in a victory, 35-32. High scoring, like you said, but it was a victory for Tennessee. So, Wilds, I'm picking the Chiefs, but they better take care of business early or this could get tough for them.
Okay, so here's the thing. Nick, you said that you expect the Chiefs to score 35, 38, 40 points. See, here's the problem with that. There's a massive difference between want to and have to. Okay? Want to and have to. Like, I want to go for a jog. I want to go running. Versus, like, I have to go running because I'm being chased by a bear. Now, my technique when I'm going out for a lovely jog and when I'm being chased by a bear are vastly different. So the Chiefs of old used to want to score a lot of points. It was fun. Mahomes out there throwing no-look passes. But now they have to score that many points. And Mahomes knows it, and that's why the technique falls apart. That's why Kansas City leads the league with 14 giveaways, because he has to score all these points, because he's pressing and pressing and pressing. So if the Titans get out to an early lead, the I have to score a lot of points will start to get into Mahomes' head, and guess what? The whole game plan will fall apart. You used to want to score a lot of points, Nick. Now you have to, and that's what I think makes this Titans game dangerous. If Derrick Henry gets off early, you guys are going to be in trouble. You're going to see old Honey Badger like this again. Oh, new Kansas City logo. Oh,
Wilds,
boy.
Can I ask you a question, buddy?
Got eaten up again?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, of course.
Because I know prior to being on this show, you were, running an NBA empire at a different network. But I know you were a big football fan. You were enjoying those Patriots, back when the Patriots were good still. Oh. So you've watched the whole Mahomes era. Remind me of the year they had this shutdown defense you're talking about when the offense wasn't carrying them. Remind me. Just tell me the year. Did it ever happen?
They were better.
I'm going to have to consult Dusty on it. I don't do the stats. That's Dusty in my ear. I'll check. I'm going to call you after the show.
We got to go. See you on Monday. Undisputed right now.